You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Once again, it's DJ J Ronan. He with Danny Diablo, Diablo's Way. That's the official mixtape. You don't have it by the shit.
DJ J Ronan. Brooklyn, Queens, baby. Yo, juxtapose.
Eat a dick.
My nigga. Bitch ass.
That's hard to do a mixtape this first guy.
Let's get in that first joint, y'all. Let's go!
I'm a lichen! Creature of the night! Burning that pussy, shit ain't right. Full moon, the tides are turning. Silver bullets, my blood's burning. I'm a killer, the leader of the pack. Underworlds, we never look back. Shape shifting, cursed and torn. Gothic horror, the beast is born.
All right.
What up, what up?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Welcome back to Diablo's Den Podcast, episode 3.
Number 3.
We're back after a little bit of a holiday break.
Yes.
Enjoying Thanksgiving.
Happy New Year.
So Happy New Year to everybody.
Happy New Year, everyone. Happy New Year, whatever it's called.
Happy Hanukkah.
We're excited to be back. Right? We're excited to be back.
Welcome back. Spectre, welcome back.
Welcome back.
I was just going to stop.
Juan Epstein.
You read my mind.
Juan Epstein.
Welcome back.
So if you guys have been listening to the past couple episodes, you know that we have a certain certain drill we like to go, and we're going to start that with plugging our sponsor, as always. Ezak, what do we got?
Oh, we have Diablo's Dark Roast. On Oak and Crow Coffee. I have my own coffee company, coffee line.
Nice. Yeah.
Diablo's Dark Roast.
So that's
like Bustelo,
right.
Like Bustelo.
I'm a Bustelo.
So man.
It's good, like Bustelo.
Like a banged out Bustelo.
Banged out Bustelo. Like Bustelo was doing Mad Coke all night.
It's hood Bustelo.
So here's hood the deal. Bustelo. If you guys go to oakandcrow.com and you use discount code DMS, you'll save 10%. So and if you want to check out.
And the feds will look at your shit to hold your hold for your hold for the next 6 months.
And you're.
Booyaka, booyaka.
You're going to want to check out all their stuff. The other thing, too, is that we've gotten a lot of emails and questions about overseas orders, right? So
overseas, listen, if you want to buy the Diablo's Dark Roast online, please hit Oak and Crow online, oakandcrow.com.
Just send our guy Jake over a message. He already said he's waiting for you guys. He's more than happy to make it happen. Use the discount
bother
code.
Bother him, because I need more money because I need child support. I pay child support.
Yeah, hook him up. Hit him up on oakandcrow.com.
Life.
So we're going to kick in. So, Ezak, introduce who we got real quick. We got some guests today.
This is episode number 3, the graph edition. These guys are more than graffiti writers, but I know these guys, the first time interacting with these guys, both of them, is graffiti, because these guys were killing shit when I was a kid, and I basically looked up to them, and I still do look up to them in everything, business. I asked them questions first, because these guys been doing it. So right now, I want to introduce you to two important staples in the graffiti world and the music world and the behind-the-scenes reality TV. This in the street level, too. This is right now Mr. K's from Lords of Brooklyn.
My brother.
and the Bronx right there, BX at his best, my man Med from Tough City.
BX.
Brooklyn and Bronx.
So we're really excited to have our guests here today, you know. So real quick, you know, too, I just want to go over a couple things that, you know, over the holiday break, we had a really big thing happen in our community.
Yes.
So
yes.
Back in December, we had on Showtime, The Godfather's a Hardcore Film by Ian McFarlane.
Yeah. On Showtime.
So that's streaming right now on Showtime. And make sure you check it out.
Listen, if you don't know about, this movie is amazing. It's about a Nazi front. It's really about fucking Roger Moret
and Stigma.
Vinny Stigma, two guys who ruined my life because of hardcore music. I love these guys. Vinny Stigma is the godfather of hardcore, one of the best from Little Italy, born and raised, still lives out there. Roger, straight from Cuba, lives in Arizona now. But Nasty Front been around since 1982?
Yeah. I mean, it was crazy because I think even if you don't come from the hardcore scene, you could watch this movie and relate. Like, for those that don't know about me, I'm obviously Cuban. My parents came over from Cuba.
Yeah.
My mom watched that film, and she, like, could totally relate Roger's story. So it was, I definitely urge everybody to go out and watch this. There's a 7-day free trial. So sign up for Showtime. Check out the movie. Review that stuff.
Ian did an amazing job. And I must say, like, when people from our scene, especially punk rock scene, hardcore scene, and they do something, you know, support them. Don't be fucking bitches and fucking be like, oh, I could do better. Like, they complain. Then do your own fucking film. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah. No, but good film, though.
Yeah,
really
good film.
Stigma is just a one-of-a-kind person that you can't recreate in life.
Stigma calls my mother to this day everything. I'll tell you a story about Stigma, right? So when I was younger, and I was like, I got signed to Profile Records, whatever, yep. with Crown Thorns. When I started doing hip hop shit, Stigma used to prank my mom's house when I was living there and say it was Russell Simmons. And my mom would be like, Russell Simmons called. And I'd be like, wait, give me the number. I was like, can't get this before. And I'd be like, oh shit. Russell Simmons on the phone, Danny, get far, run up. And be Stigma like, ha ha. That's how fucked up he is. Love you, Stigma.
Shout out to Stigma.
Yeah, I mean, dude, the footage that, you know, the archival footage that they used in that film that Ian got was unreal. You know, seeing like the rabies stuff.
Rabies, rest in peace, and Todd Youth, rest in peace. Yeah. Seeing that footage is like those dudes were the generation before me, and they paved the way for our generation.
Yep.
You know?
So again, we're gonna urge everybody today. I know I usually plug some bands and records, but I really wanted to just highlight again. You know, as someone who grew up, you know, looking up to like AF as a band. My band's covered. AF. I mean, man, this movie was awesome. So please go out, watch it, support it, you know, review it, share it. Just make sure you get the word out. We, you know, as a community need to help, like Ezak said, instead of, you know, talking shit about things, like, let's get behind everything, support each other, because it only opens up the doors for everybody else. So that's all I want to say about that. What did you watch over the break, E? Because I know you've been busy.
I've been really busy.
Have you been watching anything? Listen to anything? I know you dropped. Do you want to talk?
Oh, yes.
Bird Box.
All right. I know what Ned wants to talk about.
I'm just saying that's what everyone's watching.
I dropped a new mixtape with Danny Diablo and DJ J Ronan. Diablo's Way mixtape. Who makes you these? Basically, if you got me over here. The CD right there, say, like me sniffing a whole bunch of cocaine. Then like this, oh look, my face in the cocaine.
I love it.
Like that.
No shame in the game.
What a coincidence!
Listen, that's branding 101.
Branding, but listen, on this mixtape, I tell you right now, Joe Fado, Diesel, DJ Khaled.
Yeah,
God, yes,
yeah. Okay.
Shaz New York, Gore-Tex from Nonfiction. I got a script keeper, Frank Knight. I got production by DJ Muggs, Thurston Howell. I got Sadat X. I got LG. I got Creature of Sad Kills, Tony Slippers. I got who else? Black Game and Chubbs. And DJ Ronan and DJ Kaz. I got what? What's up, Kaz?
Yo, Soul Assassins?
Yeah, I got Level 13, shout out to Level 13. Beat Butcher, shout out to DJ Muggs, Chuck LeWayne. There's more people here.
So Sadat X, brand new band. That's the old school.
Quinstar, I got mad
Keep
people.
It relevant.
Yo, DannyDiablo.bandcamp.com. Buy my shit. That's it. That's the fuck the shit I want. Let's talk about these guys.
All right, man. Over the break. So over the holidays, listening to anything, watched anything good? We always like to tell our listeners, as you know, you've been keeping up with us, you know, encourage them to check out some new shit.
Well, like I said, the whole Bird Box thing was just a phenomenon, so I had to watch it.
What did you? Did
was
you,
it good?
It was all right. I mean, the ending was kind of like, whatever. It is what it is.
Don't fuck it up, people.
But I'm not gonna spoil it. But yeah, as far as that is, Narcos. I just finished doing the whole El Chapo Narcos, so that was kind of cool. So, and that he's here in New York, like on trial, it makes it even more like interesting in that sense. But and music, I'm just an old dude, so I'm always with My old classic favorites, Suicidal Tendencies, How Will I Laugh? Madball Set It Off. Hatebreed Supremacy is like my running and exercise music, and then I Tool is like the go to. So you know, I got a whole iPod full of music, and I'm always with the same albums over and over. Pucifer, like it's like how do you have so much music and you listen to the same ones over and over? But it's just cool. It works
just
for
is
me.
What
so
it is.
It works.
Caves.
What do you listen to?
What's been going on? Shit.
What have you been listening
to? Yeah, like over November, December. What over the holiday break, did you find
music
yourself
wise,
watching
music
anything
wise.
Or binging on some new
Frank
music?
Sinatra.
Frank Sinatra.
Tony Bennett.
Yo, man. It's just fucking, I've been in that, like, been sick through the holidays.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, like, I got 4 germ-spreading fucking kids that basically...
To keep it
100, it was like Gingerbread House making it like PS 104. my daughter.
That just sounds like a germ thing.
Daughter Ruby's like, Dad, you got to come up and Mom's Mom's editing a movie right now for Sasha Jenkins, right? For Mass Appeal, right? I've been playing at like Mary Poppins, fucking Daddy Daycare. I've been that dude again. You remember when I had that TV show, how fucking it was like Little Quinn and in the car. I'm back to doing that because I get called up to make a gingerbread house.
Such is life.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, keep it real.
I wouldn't trade it for
treasures in the world, man. That's the way it works.
It's like this. It's like whatever success you reach, and we're gonna get on all this self help shit right now. it's nothing quite like showing up second grade? I don't even know what grade she's in right now because that's how much time passes real quickly.
Yep.
And to show up for her and the look on her face when I walk in the door I can't recreate. It doesn't matter what piece of music or piece of art I conjure up and my life's work. It's pretty much right there in that little gingerbread house.
DNA.
And then 2 days, 2 days later, I'm fucking sick as a dog at Christmas. Fucking pissing out my ass. And because those little fuckers, they spread germs quick. But that's what I've been up to lately.
Damn.
Yeah, awesome.
Well, this is a... We didn't even do the Oak and Crow fucking thing.
Yes, you
no,
did.
No, we didn't.
No, I'm just, I have a song, Oak and
well,
Crow.
Well, you know what? Then let's do it. All right.
Go ahead. Do it.
All right. So check this out. I'm going to fuck with that shit, bro. I got to give a few shout-outs before we go crazy. I want to give a shout-out to Moose Knuckle First, Canada, for hooking me up with a dope fur jacket.
$2,000.
$2,000 jacket for free.
You're blinging.
The drip?
Drip. He's banging.
Shout out to Pumps in Brooklyn.
Pumps.
Oh. Yeah.
1089 Grand Street, Pumps in Brooklyn. Go out there. Tell them that Danny Diablo sent you.
All right.
What do you get at Pumps?
A lap dance.
All right.
Nice.
All right.
So let's kick off the episode. Go ahead. Right. Dive into
Let's talk about how me and you met. Do you remember where it was?
Listen, you know what? We got to go back. We got to pick the round, what year and what time. But I remember the support that we got from you, first and foremost, from everything. Because it was tough. Like, Lords of Brooklyn.
They don't know personally that what we went through.
Right.
And that was the time we came out.
Right. Right.
A lot of track.
You know, I mean, listen. If you do the research, a lot of real New York, paying our dues, grinding, and then in a New York minute, family tragedies and a lot of that dark days that get you to be that sparks the motivation and the fire to fucking make you go to war, and that was the deal. Like Lords of Brooklyn, paying our dues for a very, very long time and then get to that moment where it's your time. And to go out there and to be, like a little bit of ahead of your time or whatever. If it wasn't the right time, you're trying to build a community to support your music and say, like, at that point, it was like the let's put it like, let's keep it real. White rap groups weren't fucking very much loved. And there was only enough of them to count on your hands. And when we were coming up, we were trying to play those places, and you know, we got our respect. But you respect and love is different, right? Respect is, you get it for a lot of different reasons.
Yeah.
But love is only for one fucking reason. That's love, right?
Yeah. Right.
So when we were looking for places to play, and we, you know, it ran its course. Like we for whatever reason, we were getting blacklisted and we were getting pushed around in the sense that people didn't want to play our shit or support our stuff because whatever the reason was, maybe it was just wasn't the right timing, or maybe we were just too real for
too raw,
too raw, yeah. Right? Right. I don't know.
We would play. We bring our people from our neighborhoods.
Right. Right. And you know what? It was intimidating at the time. It was like every, like I said, we bunch of piss and vinegar and a fire because we just want to represent for our part of the neighborhood. And to see, so long story short, to see the love and support we got from that CBGB spot with this kid on stage fucking rocking a Lords of Brooklyn t-shirt with a fucking fiery red hair, fucking scary as a motherfucker. I was like, all right, like you get love in the wildest places. Yeah. And that was Ezak. It's like, didn't care what neighborhood we came from, didn't care what politics or whatever graffiti background or nonsense. He just knew he was into the music, and
a lot of people would want to sign us for the wrong reasons. You know what I mean, like, it was really weird, but the thing is, like, we played hard music and we played to hard crowds, bro. Right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean, like,
yeah.
And we always showed the crowd love, and the crowd loved us, like. Yeah. Like the real people, like the real, like people that love our music, are people who work in the sanitation and DOT and construction,
blue collar.
They love us, and they have the same problems we have, man. And that's what's so cool. Like I now when I'm not on tour, I'm not doing fucking, when I'm not rocking $2,000 jackets and
Moose Knuckle. Moose Knuckle. Shout out to Moose Knuckle.
When I'm not on tour or studio, whatever. I work with my boy Vinny Ali in construction, right? And the thing is, like, every day when I'm on the L train or the J train or E, whatever, and I'm on construction sites, people come up. The people that work with me hate me because first of all, I'm like the flag guy. You know, them ditches, digging ditches. I'm like, yeah, whatever. You know?
YMCA.
The Jew is the flag guy, and the other guys are the laborers. Yeah, is that how it is?
Yeah,
listen.
But the funny thing is that people come up to me and take pictures. Oh, Danny Diablo, they take pictures, and the people don't understand. They were like, why the fuck is this guy? I'm an evergreen and Noel, and I 20 times people take pictures of me, and they bug the fuck out. They're like, yo, the people stop all the construction workers, like, yo, Danny Diablo.
That's awesome.
And that's the love, and that's the only thing that keeps me going every day. Someone stops me and says, yo, your music put me through some hard times, and I love your music. I can't wait. I'm like, yeah, because most of the time, I'm like, fuck these little motherfuckers. I'm going to quit, get a regular fucking job. I have insurance. I'm going to have insurance now.
Like when they can't follow directions on how to download your new music.
Yeah, I fucking hate that. And then again, I can't do that. So I don't understand why I get so mad. But the thing is, it's like the love from people keep me going. That's it. The love.
Yeah, I mean, listen.
And your music, though, not to interrupt you, Mike, but your music and your lyrics
are for retards.
Touch people sometimes. No. Listen, then we're all retards in that sense. You know?
But
when you say something that touches somebody in the situation they're going through, then they feel a connection with you, and that you actually get them through what they're going. It's happened with me in my life with suicidal tendencies and How Will I Laugh. That shit really got me through times in my life that was really difficult. And so, you know, that's important to people, and it means a lot. And you don't know it until you meet the fan that tells you, like, wow, you touched me. And then you know it's worth it, what you're doing, you know?
Wait a minute, guys.
Hey, y'all remember 2000 when y'all made the motherfucking Scarhead 2000 A Thug Odyssey?
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
PSK?
Oh, yeah. PSK.
Yeah, listen.
Puerto Rican Mike, shout out to Puerto Rican Mike.
Listen, well, we built a relationship from being from those outside parts of the neighborhood that weren't as popular as the inner parts, or where, you know, like the outside fringe parts that had a scene, had a hip hop scene, a hardcore scene. But in my part of town, the hip hop scene was definitely it was on shaky grounds for us to come up in that neighborhood
yeah.
and to believe in something like hip-hop and being B-boys and graffiti writers. We were able to expand like-minded kids, as, you know, that wanted a scene, you know, and loved the culture and loved the fucking music, but, you know, was alienated from going into yeah. the city and the clubs that was... Because, you know, it was like, yo, it was the segregation that went on in you know, in... Just the fact that you came from that part of the neighborhood, like I get it, and yeah. I know why, and there's a lot of, and there's a right for it, but there was kids that was open to it, and they were there for like ripe for like a time in their life to change this kind of mentality yeah. of being yeah. let's say that old school way of being fucking racist and bigoted because yeah. they were afraid.
Yeah, they're
right?
afraid. That's it.
And we weren't like this. Music to us was our rock and roll, just like our parents had Zeppelin and Hendrix yeah. and like yo, hip hop was. So we had to make our name for ourselves. So you know, you get looked at. Are you just another culture vulture? Are you just another group of kids that are trying to, you know, get on and whitewash it or do yeah. whatever the politics is? But when you're true and you just do it for the love of it. You find other like-minded people, and we found them in the hardcore scene because hardcore yeah. hardcore kids love hip hop as well.
Oh yeah,
but what
and graph
and how to make a scene of their own, and in that little club. So it was, remember Coney Island High.
Yeah,
we were rocking right. together, Coney yeah. Island. So we found these guys were doing hardcore. We were doing hip hop. We found a nice way to mesh it together, and it broke down doors and opened up people's minds to like change their mind, because a lot of people that were hating on us weren't people like weren't the brothers or the Puerto Rican cats. It was other white kids that wanted to be the only white kid that was down with the culture, so they had the power, and they were the ones like the gatekeepers. Like, we're not letting those, you know, those Cougine cats from fucking Bay Ridge come in. Yeah, you know, we might have, you know, we got chased out of the name. No, you didn't get chased out of the name. Stop bullshitting. I know everybody got chased and what reason they got chased in the first place. It's like, it was just a lot of people with insecurities, and when they see a bunch of, like, real cats coming up from fucking real roots, single parents, fucking graffiti background, B-boys, yeah. they, it's hard to swallow. So they were like, so we needed to find acceptance, and we found it in the hardcore culture.
And not for anything, being Italian rappers, you guys were before, there's a few I know that have friends of mine, like G-Fella, but you guys were before G-Fella.
Listen,
there was the Shark from Mars right, Park, which right, man right. loves the Shark.
Right.
But what's the other guy? Pellegrino is later on. You know what I mean, like. But you guys were before those people.
Yeah, everybody has amnesia and shit. They forget quick. You know, the truth is, and this is the truth. It's like that record was world. Acai Ne Fever record broke worldwide.
Yeah.
But like in a cult way, it wasn't top. You know, Nirvana and Biggie was on the radio at the time.
Yeah.
If you weren't grunge and if you weren't like funkadelic, like
yeah,
Snoop,
yeah. Yeah.
you were not getting played on the radio. So you had to go out there and bust your fucking ass to get any recognition. And the Lords of Brooklyn got recognition worldwide.
Yeah.
Yes, the group is made up of these group of kids like fucking from Brooklyn. With all nationalities and backgrounds, the majority was Italian and Irish. Like I said, man, when you're a Brooklyn, New York kid, you got everything. I got like the UN, like
yeah.
like in like growing up, it's like all of that New York culture. You put it in our band, and that was our Sunday sauce. And we, you know, obviously, when it was time for us to do our record,
yeah.
we're not gonna act. We weren't gonna walk. The fucking fake. We were going to talk the talk and walk the walk from our neighborhood. If it was graffiti, if it was the gangster shit that was going on in yeah. our neighborhood.
School
or it was
D, remember?
Or, you know, or it was like something like, you know, that hard knock white trash shit that, yeah. you know, just growing up in a neighborhood where
stealing cars, Benzie boxes.
Benzie box, yeah, so there you go. So if you're going to be mad at us, get mad that your Benzie box got stolen. That's about it.
Chains. Yes.
But that, you know, that's, you know... And,
It wasn't me.
And I'm a little under the weather. Like I said, I got the flu and shit. But you know, this is, you know, it's 25 something years later. You know, and we're still.
And we play yeah. Europe together. We do now.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Madball, like Scarhead. It's like,
yeah.
It's.
We had a lot of good times.
I'm happy that it's crazy that for me I would never
listen.
Went out
pioneers, you know. pioneers usually get the arrows and the settlers get the land. Okay. When you got to understand, you got to think about all these little subcultures and these little fringe movements that happened under, obviously hip-hop and hardcore, they're big movements, but really, if you want to go on that territorial, like, warriors type shit, when you go into the different neighborhoods and you go to people who made noise around the world, Lords of Brooklyn fucking rang bells.
For sure. Yo, just as a side note, I'm coming here today.
Yes.
I'm driving to the train with my girl in the car.
Hopefully not now.
And I'm telling her who I'm going to be on the show with.
Right.
And she's like, she pulls up your album, but like the first album you ever did. Right. Not the recent shit, not Graffiti Rock.
The All in the Family.
All in the Family.
Yeah. And she's like, yo, I listen to it all the time. And I'm like, what are the odds in life? Like, think about this, though. Like, what are the odds in life that she got your album so many years ago that it's still in her fucking iTunes, like, playlist?
Yo,
and then she says she always listens to it still.
Yo.
And I was like, wow. Like, the universe is crazy how that, it's like that... That's how things work out. Like, she is really, you're in her playlist. And
you know,
it's like,
I mean,
wow, like, there you go, Lords of Brooklyn.
Listen.
Yeah.
Shout out to Lords of Brooklyn.
I appreciate it. I don't want to get into, like, you know, like, this is like the self promotion fucking thing, but. Yeah.
It's my show. You can do whatever you want to.
I'm gonna show you guys something.
Guys, if you're my girl's playlist, I'll fuck you up, nigga.
Yo.
You derelict.
Yo.
Ba 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 ba.
Here. Yeah, I'm gonna bug out, right? So, you know, you sit around, and most of the times, like, if you're fucking from this kind of like OCD creative fucking type that is not really fucking happy unless you're doing the next fucking
next project.
It's what makes us all, we could all agree on it. It's like our obsession, it's our disease.
Yeah.
And you do these things, and that record to us was like heartache and pain of like growing up from little kids in, you know, hard knock life to the point we got our first major record deal. So all the you know, the blood, sweats, and tears went in that. And you're like, well, what the fuck? It went, you know, it didn't go gold. It went wood, you know? Like, it didn't go platinum.
But she's listening to it in her playlist now, dude.
So you're always hardening yourself because you always, like, try to judge your success over, like, a monetary kind of, like, you know, gauge, right? But when you start, like, you know, fast forward 25 years later and you hear stories about this person got to this time in their life that was fucking hard, you know, like they couldn't, you know, they needed that inspiration. You were that source. Then you're like, fuck it. That was like a feather in the cap. Right.
Right.
But walking down the street, I'm fucking in my neighborhood, like in Sunset Park. And I see this construction worker fucking walking. Right.
Yeah.
Typical dude, you know, taking his lunch break. And then I'm like, yo, is that what I think it is? And on his hard hat, he's got that Lords of Brooklyn sticker from 1995.
Yeah.
From
1995. Yeah.
I'm like, see, Ma, we made it, Ma.
1992?
90 what?
What was that? Was
that 95, right? 95.
Yeah. Yo,
you know what's a crazy thing, though, in this whole situation
is that it's
because of you, Mike, that... I met Tavi and I met Corey and I ended up meeting Isaac. So if it wasn't for me, like, working with you and doing things with you, I wouldn't even kind of been introduced to the situation. I was a hardcore fan before
I met these guys.
From my life,
well, I mean, listen,
what I listened to.
Real recognize real.
It's really crazy how things tie together.
And if it wasn't for Matt, I wouldn't have been tattooing.
Yeah.
So it's like...
crazy. It's really crazy.
And it comes from this dysfunctional, crazy New York City family.
Yes.
And it starts off with the graffiti, right?
Right.
Graffiti is the gateway to crime.
It was for me. It caused me a lot of heartache in my life.
It's
pain and pleasure.
Let's talk about...
Let's give Matt a little background for our listeners who don't know.
Explain, when do you start graffiti?
Okay.
What year? And tell who you were bombing with. And also from there, tell them how did you get where you went to high school.
Okay, I'm gonna try to keep it brief so we can share the spotlight, me and Mike.
So
basically, my life with graffiti in a nutshell was when I was like 12, I got sent to a group home, And when I was in a group home, I was in Westchester in a group home, and on the weekends, they would call it a city visit. Yeah. And they would take you in a bus to Grand Central, give you a token and a couple of dollars to get home to your family for the weekend. And then on Sunday, you had to go back to Grand Central to meet the bus to go back to the group
home. So you missed the bus all the time.
Well, no, but I took the token. Instead of taking the 5 train, which was like 5 blocks from my house, I took the 4 train, which was like I had to take a bus from the 4 train to get home. But the reason why I did that is because the 4 train has so much graffiti on it, and I was just amazed by it that every weekend I would go home and look at this graffiti and sit home and draw it. And my friends that I grew up with in my neighborhood, they thought I was a hoodlum because I was in a group home, so they disassociated themselves with me. So on my weekends at home, like it's like, okay, you can go home now. Yeah. But I had no friends because they all thought I was a hoodlum. So all I did every weekend was draw graffiti and go back to the group home and show people. And they were like, wow, that looks great. And that's what sparked it in the sense of graffiti, you know, for me. Right. That's really what really brought it about, and that's where the graffiti thing started. You know?
And let's talk about right now. How did you get into tattooing from the graffiti?
So the graffiti thing was when they let
Quick plug to Tough City. Plug the shop real quick.
Shout out to Tough City.
Up in the Bronx.
My peoples.
Give a plug, man, real quick to the shop.
Right by Arthur Ave.
Okay. 650 Fordham Road, Tough City. 25 years.
Yes, baby.
We're a quarter of a century in business.
Hold up.
And this is our life, you know?
I remember the first Tough City up the hill.
Yeah, well, that was a lot
of years
ago.
Remember that one? Remember that? Yeah, I remember that, too.
A lot of years ago.
But so basically, the group home got me into looking at the graffiti and drawing the graffiti, and all my friends that I grew up with cut me off because they thought I was a hoodlum. So on my weekends, I was home drawing, and then I went back to the group home, and they loved the graffiti.
Yeah.
And then when the group home let me out at 14, they said, okay, you could go home and you could start high school, and we're going to put you here in high school. The minute I went to high school, I was drawing, and people were like, you can draw graffiti. We know where the trains are, and that was it. I had to buy paint.
Yeah.
I had to buy somebody paint from Martin's Paint on Gun Hill Road to bring me to Baychester Layup. But I bought the paint, and I said, show me where it is.
Yeah.
And that was it. That was
And
that.
who were your partners when you were bombing?
I had no partners at that time because I was only 14.
Yeah.
The first event I had in graffiti was at Baychester, and it was Ross and Caban, MPC.
Yes.
Caban was sniffing glue. And I was 14 years old in a layup with Bronx dudes sniffing glue and these like white, like crazy rocker dudes. And the layup was like, you could just walk up. It was so easy. You could walk up the hill.
Yeah.
And it's like, here's the trains parked. Like there was no fences, no security. And I was just like amazed. Like, oh my God, this is like a world in itself. And,
that's so
and
awesome.
That just opened up. Like, everything in my life changed from that moment because it was like, wow, you could paint trains and you could... It was crazy. It was really a chain of events that led me to that time when I first hit the train that really just...
And when you started hitting the trains, that's when you met PJ and all these guys.
From writing graffiti, and Mike could even attest to that you meet certain people, they go to certain spots, you learn different spots, you get down with different crews.
You live a lot of lives in one summer.
There's an underlying network of people in the graffiti world that regular society doesn't even understand. Like everybody drives every day and they drive their cars and they see like throw ups and tags and everything, and they see graffiti, but they see it for the surface of what it is of like tags, and they don't understand.
They don't know the culture. The hell our parents dealt with.
Yeah, and it's a culture in itself, and it's like the people and the crews, and it's like. It's just a world in itself.
People don't understand it now. Like the new writers, they don't understand. New York City.
Early '80s.
Yo, fucking the war zone. They don't understand. There was thousands of graffiti writers, man. And to even put a dent in that, to even become recognized amongst your peers, was a fucking full time job.
We did it for nothing but recognition from our peers.
Not for the love of it. There was no money involved.
No, there was nothing.
Well, there was one thing. There was one thing that was involved was fame, right?
Yeah. Fame.
Fame was the only payoff.
But it was fame to the people wouldn't pay you anything for that.
But
that would acknowledge you. They would acknowledge you and you would be like, I made it.
No.
Like when Cap put me down with MPC, that to me was the day
Cap,
that I...
Yeah.
I
yeah. Blood War.
Big shout out to Cap.
Blood War.
Blood War.
God bless. But when he put me down with NPC, it was in Baychester. I'll never forget. It's like a memory embedded in my mind. It was like I reached the pinnacle because all these guys you look up to, like Duster, I watched him in Star Wars.
Shout out to Duster.
Like, oh my, shout out to Duster.
Yeah.
Nikki, my boy. But it was like I watched him in Star Wars, and then to actually be friends with him and have him respect what I'm doing was like, I did it. I made it. Like, and it wasn't monetary. Like, there was no money. Like, for somebody to say, I acknowledge you, it wasn't like they paid you
$1 million. We didn't care about
money. It was
money.
Like just them acknowledging
you.
We hopped
the turnstile. Oh, yeah. We racked our
time. And you know what? In the world of graffiti, as global as it has become, these guys that write in all these countries, and I've been around the world painting with guys, they don't understand what we had when we had it with the trains and the way it was.
It was like a full-time career. And you had to put in like work.
Yes.
You had to put in like the overtime. And
my
Jewish parents.
Yeah. My mother. Oh,
visiting me in prison. I was like, I wasn't a mensch. I was the worst.
Hey, yo, man, I remember my pops used to take me to his job and shit on the weekends. He used to drive me to work. I used to look at the walls on the fucking West Side Highway. I used to see the fucking stars everywhere. Mad. I used to be like, what the fuck is that? Like, 15 years old. Like, who's that? Look.
That's why we did it. And like, are you paying me right now? No. Right? You're not paying me right now, right? So it's not for money. It's for that.
Recognition.
It's just for that.
And to go back a little bit, like, people, like, they don't understand. Right now, the internet, you can post, get on your Procreate and get off on it and come up with a burner and then post it to 1,000 people. I'm like a fiend over the holidays. But to tell you the truth, man, it was a full-time job as a 12-year-old kid.
As an 11-year-old kid
taking on that kind of like focus, and you want to talk about street marketing and campaigning.
Yeah.
But not only did you write on the trains, because the trains were hard to write on. It wasn't as simple
other
as people think.
Other people's neighbor.
Beef, mad beef. Now check this out.
Oh my God.
But not only bombing trains, you also had to bomb buses. You also had a
sanitation
trucks. You also had to do handball courts.
I love handball courts.
Shout out to Spawn. Sanitation King, robbing everybody at the Wall of Fame, robbing everyone's cameras. Big shout out to Spawn.
Can I say something?
What's up? What do you want to say?
Guys, beef, graffiti beef will never end, right?
No.
It doesn't end. It's recent.
But the truth is now graffiti's different. There's like a different kind of graffiti writer. There's like a weekend warrior.
They're all pussies.
It's not like
they're street artists now. That's what it is.
But check it. But I want to just put a little foundation down about it. It's like this. It's like to write in that, and listen, in the 70s, I give them mad props, the pioneers.
Right.
I give them mad props. But in the 80s, shit started getting really vicious.
Yeah,
there was no love, peace, and like, it was the hippie generation movement was
problems,
far gone.
Problems.
New York was broke like a motherfucker, and most everybody else was. And it was like kill to be killed. It was like gladiator school.
I know a guy, right? He used to fuck this girl, right? And he used to put his name on the girl's fucking headboard.
All right,
like,
stop.
I was here.
All right, we're trying to keep this G-rated.
He's talking about me. He's talking about me.
Is that you?
Yeah, me. King of
the headboards?
King of the headboards. I'm not going to say no names because I squashed people and people have passed away. And I wanted to, but I used to be like, I used to go to niggas' girlfriends, bang that. My girl's gonna listen to this. Hate me, but bang the bitch and catch the tag. So later on at Christmas, we're doing Christmas presents. Under the bed, they see my tag, and I ruined Christmas for them.
Yeah,
that's how my beef was.
But seriously, in the 80s, it was kind of like, in the 90s, it was like, I wanted a piece and I wanted to do nice shit that I was capable of
doing.
You're
dope.
But was problems all the time. And it was like, you want to do colors and you want to do nice, like, whole cars and window downs, but you got problems and beef with people and you just got to handle that. And it's like, that's part of graffiti too. Like, what people don't understand right now is, like, you could call yourself a street artist and say, oh, I do murals, I do buildings. But, when we grew up, it was like, you could be doing a beautiful color piece on a train, and, you your shit's crossed out.
Yes,
and then you got to be like, I got my boys. We got to go to his spot.
You only had a half an hour to do it.
Yes. Most. That's another thing, too. Like, the guys nowadays, they have the caps are amazing.
The equipment they use
is, like, so geared towards doing this super fine stuff. When we were doing it on the trains, it was, like, you got to do it quick. Like, I've gone to spots that pulled out in 10 minutes, and it's, like, leaving, and you're, like, halfway done.
There was a spot in Queens we used to go to listen to this spot. It was, like, on Fresh Pond. And not
on,
the yard.
On the M.
It was on the M. It was
by the
last stop on the M.
By Christ the King.
And this is how crazy this was.
Pull in and pull out. So the,
by the freight. Cemetery.
Yes.
Dyer was like that.
Me, Revs, and there was a kid from Queens named Stress that Revs was cool with. And then basically, that shit would pull into the train station. You would have fucking 15 minutes while they waited for whatever. You start piecing it, and then you would have to wait an hour for it to come back. So you basically had 15 minutes at a time to create like an end-to-end.
Yeah.
So what? Around this time, like in the early 80s, mid-80s, let's say early 80s, like 82, 83, 84, like around that time, the beef and the fact that the transit police and everybody was fucking... They knew where you were. What layup was always hot, so you didn't have this full fucking production kind of thing.
Yo, listen,
you didn't have this shit.
I want to tell you something right now. I want to tell you this. People get mad at me, but this is how I grew up. I'm from Jackson Heights, Queens. I'm mixed. My mother's basically Puerto Rican black. My father's Jewish, right? So. I represent Jackson
Heights.
I represent Jackson Heights my whole life. And being from Queens, we're a certain way. You know, Brooklyn, Bronx, same way. So basically, my thing was always, like, when I see people get mad at this, but we're going to laugh about this. When I see the nice Instagram, this guy's from Poland, and he has protractors and fire glass
shout out to Polish princess.
Listen, they have, like,
I don't even know what that was. That's okay.
I don't know what the fuck that is, but they have the shit levels, and they're like over there drinking wine. I'm like, this is fucking whack. No, that's why when people say that, look, the new break dancers, they're doing dancing techno with break dancing, whack. whack. Your style's whack. You just your skinny shit's too whack. Where I'm from, Adidas, fat lady. I want to wear.
You can't wear skinny jeans and do windmills.
Can't do it. You people are just whack, bro. It's like it's like the new graffiti writers. Like, they're like, yo, what's up? Listen, it's sad because I wrote graffiti my whole life. Me and MQ used to kill shit. But I'm not known for... I got dope hairstyle, but I'm not known for that. I'm in documentaries. I do music. I'm known for just beating things down. And it's like all over the world. It's fucked up.
Hey, yo,
you know what's crazy is Graf used to be like that, too, where it was like... Like beating niggas down.
Yeah,
like
that's what it was.
And fighting. Like, it was like, I mean, we had some crazy stories of chasing. Like, I grew up in Co-op City.
Yeah.
And I live in an apartment building. And on my floor was like
Co-op City's fucked up. 10
apartments on my floor. And one day I wake up and my mother comes home and she's like, knocking on my door, like banging, like, oh my God, look at the hallway. And dudes I had beef with blasted my whole hallway. And
I'm like, shit.
I'm like, yo, how did they find out who I was? They yoked up some kid in my neighborhood and said, who is mad? And because I made a little name for myself, the kid knew who I was and said, oh, he lives here. And they blasted my hallway. And then we had to retaliate and do what we had to do.
I would say.
And it was crazy. Well, it wasn't normal.
I did that all the time and it's fucked up because me and MQ got me in a lot of trouble, bro.
Yeah, well, beef is part of it. But these new era street artist dudes that paint murals, like, and even the new graffiti writers that have just come out in the last 10 years.
There's
no comprehension of the lifestyle that we had to live.
And they got attitude. They got chips on the shoulders. They got chips on the
problems. And not only that, but you know what? The difference. So let's talk about Graf for a second.
Yeah.
There's elements of Graf.
Yeah.
There's the artist element of Graf where you can piece and do colors and do something nice, which I was capable of.
Yeah.
But most of the time, motherfuckers push me into beef, and I had to just cross them out and go on missions. And No, no, listen. I had to go on missions to destroy their shit.
Yeah.
And it took away from my artistic side of things.
I know.
So I, if I did only beautiful color pieces all the time, then I would be like, oh, he's such a great artist. Look at the colorful stuff. Yeah. But because I had to handle my beef half the time with people, that takes away from your painting colorful stuff because you're doing silvers and blacks over people. And you, and there was nights that we would do a highway, like the Van Wyck.
Oh, my God.
We would do the Van Wyck going out to Brooklyn to do a train spot and then come back and our shit is crossed out. And it's like, damn, we gotta stop now and fix it.
Highways, remember, Feck. Fucking all on the fucking on the Belt Parkway. Well,
listen, highways was part like I said, it was like a full time career.
Yes,
not
yes.
only the trains, it was
bridges.
It was your life right?
And the racking too.
So
like stealing and racking was like full time job.
Can I show you something?
What
Tony 164.
Shout out to Tony 164. BX in the house.
Who showed me how to steal? Spray paint like
Listen.
This. Look, sleeve rack. Look, remember?
Yeah.
Spray paint like this.
Like this.
Look,
sleeving. Yo, I was a master.
We used to steal beers like that, too.
You're masterized.
And you used to go in a beer case.
Sleeve rack?
And like, right, it's the orange jacket. It would slide
in. Yo, listen, item racking. People don't talk about it. Like, if you aren't racking paint, like a lot of spots used to get hot, right?
Yeah.
And like, you would go on missions, and we eventually had a call, and we'd go to Long Island and Jersey.
That's my,
right? That, go that. Crazy. But item racking... And when was like the downtime to get fucking to go rack your fucking tap shampoo and your fucking little items?
Oh, I did that for a living. I did that for to me and PJ. Did
PJ.
Hold on. Tell you what, it funded. Listen, that type of shit funded
graffiti.
This graffiti funded the lifestyle. Like it kind of like
gateway
like
to crime.
Like I said, it was like a lifestyle thing. But I don't want.
It was.
Listen, I don't want to sit here and sound like a bitter old man and start. Like complaining about
how
the success of like the new writers, like how they go straight from college right to the fucking galleries.
Oh my God.
I don't want like because but I'd rather like say this is like because of the time that we came up, there was always a bigger risk factor. There was. Even in the break in the music breakdancing, it's like you putting your balls on the line.
Yeah.
You're putting everything on the line. And that's why we're so passionate about it. So don't mistake the complaining. It's almost just like we're trying to like educate the viewer as in do your research because a lot of motherfuckers will say they were there because they heard the stories over and over and they could put themselves into that story very easy when they're around the company of the writers. You could very much like catch that disease like, oh, no, I was there. Remember? I was there in the layer. No, you weren't there, man. But you got to pay homage to the people that were and just the respect. It always
when you hear stories about all the stuff, my thing is always respect. That's why when I met you, I had beef with Ghost and all the Chris kids, and I know you were down with them, but and we were like, yo, whatever. And when I fought Ghost, after that, when I see Ghost now, we shake hands. And I looked up to Ghost when I was a kid. Like, this is crazy. I looked up to Ghost. I looked up to... Jimmy 131, a lot of people had beef with. I looked at EA for Riz. I wrote on his house.
Well, I'm sure.
A lot of these things I wrote on
his
house.
I'm sure a lot of like.
Oh, we can go there too.
Listen,
like,
I looked up to them. And I never changed history. If someone says, shout out to St. TMR and stuff like that.
Yeah.
A lot of people, when they get fucked up, especially people my crew, like, yo, don't give no props to anyone out DMS. I'm like, yo, listen. I tell you how it is. If I fought Ghost and we fought for a half hour, and I just say, yo, he was a bitch. And I say, yo, we fought for a half hour. I did what I did. He knows what I did.
PJ fought Ghost, too.
Yeah, yeah.
And let me tell you, Ghost is a tough
Ghost
tongue,
is scrappy.
White trash wall.
He's done his time, and he's done his thing.
Shout out to Ghost.
He's a real dude. Shout out to Ghost.
Now, but listen.
Real dude.
Stop one second. But yo,
from the Bronx. Real dude. Ghost.
But listen, we're all just old fucking hockey players.
Yeah.
We are. We're fucking hockey players. Like, yo, graffiti writers are just like fucking hockey, man.
But the difference is that... Nowadays, right? So let's think about the current state of art and the art world.
Right? Yeah.
So nowadays, it's like Art Basel and these murals and these buildings and these people that get into the graffiti. They use spray paint because spray paint fills in spaces quicker. But they're not graffiti artists. Like, the thing is this. Growing up in the Bronx, growing up in Brooklyn, we grew up...
But Caves is a real artist.
No, and what I'm
no, same thing. Like, I like to think I'm a real artist too, motherfucker. What the fuck?
Okay, all right. Caves is the only real artist in the show right now. Caves.
Man, I always told you you had the dope style, and you're like, I'm not known for it. I said, no, but you
I don't care.
I don't care. But Caves, you give Caves a fucking palette and a fucking, he has a rose in his thing. Dude, Titanic, you draw a French girl.
What I'm trying to say is this, that the current state of affairs in the art world and the way things are is that people that really spent their life doing this and really put it in for reasons, not for financial stability or gain.
Shout out to Revs.
And you know, the thing is this. Nowadays, everyone wants to be a famous artist and wants to bank off of the money and
the
wants to be...
The first one was like John 156. He went to France and made his thing, right?
God bless. And Cause, you know, Cause FC, that's...
Yeah.
I'm FC and that's... It's all good. But what I'm saying is that, you know, we come from an era that the shit we did was not for that purpose. Like, that we never went to a train or a layup or a train yard because we were like, oh, we're going to make millions.
No, we're going to be
this, like, famous street artist. We did it because we did it as a culture growing up. And nowadays, it's a little twisted, and there's a lot of people doing it because it's cool to do. Like, I'm an artist. I graduated from art school, and a spray can could fill in this space more, and I could know how to control it.
I'm a graffiti artist.
It's the street culture stuff, like this outlaw art. Yeah. We're involved with a lot of aspects of it. Our music, our tattooing is another thing where people go. They come and they're skipping the pay your dues part.
Yep.
Right? Yeah. They're going right from, like, when I met that, like, college, they're going right from, like, you know, from, you know, being a, like, stepping up and learning, but forgetting about the career, like, the career in between.
You know what, Mike?
Yep.
The paying your dues part
is
what makes us who we are.
True.
And who we are. Like, if I didn't go through the paying your dues stages of life in
graph.
Yeah,
builds character, for sure.
Then
That's the point we're trying to make. I'm not sitting here trying to be the old, like, grumpy old man, like, and I'm just trying to say
you are an old grumpy man.
I'm getting old, but just joking. What I'm trying to say is that it's important for these podcasts. It's important to tell your story. It's important. It's important for people to understand, like,
the realness of where we come from. You know what? I'm gonna just say one thing real quick. That. Me linking up with you was because of Jest. And Jest was a kid that when I was locked up,
I remember Jest.
He was doing his thing with TVT. When I came home, he was putting up MPC, and I was like, who is this kid? I got to meet him. And then I met him.
He killed Highways.
Friends, right? So Jest is the cause of me and you getting into business together and being friends.
Is he Jewish?
No, he's not. He's Cristofaro. He's Italian.
Yeah.
But he is the
shout out to Jesse Ailey.
He is the link.
Yeah.
Like, when you look at things in life, you look at the stepping stones of how people interact and meet each other and how things come together, like how the links are. And Jess was my link to you.
Yeah.
My link to you was my link to Corey and Tavi and Isaac and everybody else.
Danny Boy.
And Danny Boy. And so it's crazy in the sense that when you're real and you just know, like, things just fall into place.
Fuck a social network. It was our street network.
That's how I know.
I call it Asphalt Athletics.
And before any social media was the trains and the fucking getting up and putting your name on it. Or All City.
Well, you know what? The amazing thing is that it comes back to, like, artwork created by kids for kids. Like, these cultures that we're talking about with, like, thought up by children in the city. You know, that hard knock lives, rough lives.
Right.
Didn't matter what you were, what your background was, what color you were, because the true kids, like, played in that fucking sandbox together. And yes, there's beef and there's all of that shit, but like I said, there's beef between the Yankees and the Red Sox.
No, you're
but
right.
Motherfuckers
you're right.
are still
you're right.
players, right?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
There's no real Hall of Fames to kind of, like, anoint, like, because I'd much rather see a Lee Quiñones get paid millions of dollars for those paintings
than
I'd rather
somebody
see somebody that just fucking
that just kind of
came in and did the three card Monty and found their way into, like,
there's dudes, listen. Right. Like, how we are, then you got guys on the West Coast.
And when I got signed by Travis Barker, I moved to the West Coast. There's a whole DMS chapter in the West Coast, two of them big ones.
Risky.
Shout out to Risky, my man Risky.
Risky, you crazy man. Shout out to Sheen. Because, Sheen gave me the opportunity when I came
one
home
of the
from
best
prison,
in the world.
And he put me on and let me tattoo. And Tough City, just for the world to know, Tough City was... Sheen had a t-shirt printing shop downstairs that was called Tough City Tees. And when I was locked up, I would look at the tattoo magazines and it would be ads for Tough City Tees. And so when I came home, Sheen said, "Oh, don't go house to house, like tattoo with me." Yeah. And he put me on. And
See, then, that's dope.
And that's
and,
awesome.
And, yeah. Shout out Sheen always. But he put me on, and before there was a name for the shop, I said, let's call it Tough City Tattoos because you had Tough City Tees and it sounds good. And we named it that. And then he put Tough Tattoo Sheen later on. And I kept Tough City on some piece shit. But, if it wasn't for him and it wasn't for his, mentoring me, I wouldn't be where I am. So, and even for my name of Tough City and the shop that we have and my crew, it wouldn't be in place if it wasn't for Sheen. So,
and these,
shout out to Sheen.
And these are things that are crafted by cats that are from fucking humble beginnings that were like the odds were against a lot of these city kids and these graffiti writers
the people for being from Queens, Bronx, and Brooklyn, the dudes that hung out in the city hated us. They're talking about like downtown, so it was even crazier. They're like oh yeah, Bridge and Tunnel and stuff like that to me. I'll be like, I'm knocking you right out fucking back to the bridge right now, motherfucker.
Well, and it's nice to know that there's, a world and a community that evolved from it, and it's a big business now. It's a fucking large.
It's some people,
right?
I'm so happy that you guys are business minded and doing your thing, and
Not why we did this.
That's the thing that everyone got to understand is that there was
never a motivation in any time I rode on a train or a highway or a wall with Fade or with anybody in my life.
Shout out to Fade.
Well, you know what?
It's like this.
My partner always.
It's like what Med's saying right now. We were survivors, right? And we needed a voice. And luckily we found it at an early age with the graffiti. And what graffiti taught us was hands-on training, right?
Yeah.
You're not going to school for this shit. We learn marketing and we learn branding at its best, at its finest, under the most fucking difficult times.
Yeah.
Our parents, cops and, rats and this and that.
Hands-on experience.
Hands-on experience. And we built these communities and then found vocations and careers and lifelong careers between the tattooing and the music on how to take that spark and inspiration and turn this into something like fucking true New Yorkers, man. That's like Knickerbocker motherfuckers, man.
For me, it got me in trouble because hanging out with graffiti, derelict graffiti writers.
But listen,
Ezak.
But I'm going to tell you.
Hanging out with derelict graffiti writers like Ezak could get you in trouble. Being a kid that you want to be a good kid, but you get with the wrong crowd. What happens in New York.
It's called the struggle. It's called the struggle. Life is a fucking struggle. And we're survivors in the struggle, and we built something out of it, and we still struggle. Everybody fucking struggles.
I'm not paid.
But I call,
just so everyone
listen,
knows.
Yeah, y'all.
It's still a rough life.
Yeah, y'all. Listen.
So are you then? For that matter. It's a rough life.
What I'm saying, it's the struggle, and you just the way you look at it. You look at it as a beautiful struggle, because we only get your fucking this time on the planet, short time, and you're gonna struggle. And if the price of struggling and the price of grief is love, right? If someone told you, you could love and you're gonna have these passions and you're gonna find love, but the price of love is gonna be fucking pain and grief, would you sign up to love? Fucking straight you would.
And what I wanna say in adding to what Mike just said is that it goes back to what is a common saying. If you love what you do, it's not work. And you know what? As much as dealing with graffiti writers in my business and dealing with the drama of even tattoo, artists that have their quirks and it's like all said and done.
You're your own,
it's
your,
like,
your,
you know
own
what?
Boss,
I wouldn't
man.
Change it. I wouldn't
you're
change
your own
it
boss.
For anything because
you're your own man.
It's like I could deal with the stresses of those things to be where I'm at doing what I love. It's a blessing.
We're real people. I look at, I won't say something right now, people might get mad, but I'm just That's what I do.
That's the only way to go on this show.
Yeah,
you
so
know
check
that.
This out. On the East Coast, we do it for, you know, just what we are. When I went to the West Coast, these dudes were doing permission walls. I never even heard that shit in my life. Permission wall? That's like, and they were like, hold on. Like, I'm like, yo, bro. And that's why I love when I just go to like, when I'm going to say it right now. You know, out there, Risky is my West Coast artist. Also, he's DMS. He's my brother, Risky. He's part of my thing. Shout out to Risky. He's one of the best.
Risky.
Risky's making money.
West Coast artist.
He's killing it. He's a real motherfucker. And he does these things with these dudes out there, and they're all very the proper, and they're like, hey, this is how. I'm like, I'm sitting there. I'm like, one time I was sitting there, it was like, you know, like, it's like, shout out to like Saber, shout out to
Saber.
I remember one time sitting there. And
Bless, AWR.
I was talking to all those guys, and I was like, yeah, but so this is, you know, this is RD. And they're like, who's that? I'm like, how the fuck? You don't know who the fuck RD is. The biggest white trash warrior out there. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like PKRD, these little white trash warriors that, even though the crazy...
PK I know, went like, over my star on the Triborough Bridge. And you know what? I'm a little older now, and I'm not on some deep shit. But let me tell you something. I'm going to tell you the story. Me and Sess went to the Triborough Bridge.
Sess.
Shout out to Sess.
That's a real,
Sess is my brother.
That's a real artist.
Sess is my brother. But me and Sess went to the Triborough Bridge. And Sess was on the side, on the service road.
Right by police station.
Sess was on the service road.
That's the police station right there.
I went up that whole thing on the Triborough Bridge, and I did that Med Star. And I didn't put Med in it. I put Sess in it for him because he was watching my back. And then PK Notes went and took filled in my star and put PK Note. And I'm like, dude, for a guy that's writing for so many years, respect would be like, let me not go over Sessa shit in there. Let me not do
yo,
that.
Yo, people crazy. Listen,
I know. Sasha mentioned PK, and I still, like, listen, I might be an older dude.
He hit me last night.
But, yo, dude, I'm still on some. If I see him, I might set it just because that's how I get down.
Oh, like,
I'm going to tell you a little story about PK a long time ago. I learned how to write graffiti from PK. Like when because I went to Bryan High School, I went to Junior High School 10, and I was like, I'm from Jackson Heights, so I had to go over this story with people, and KK1 is the one who told me I write. Like, I'm talking about, like, listen, graffiti, all those guys know me. Then they had beef with the TMR guys. Then one time, and then now, they were like, oh, yeah, whatever. And you know when you first get into graffiti, people try to sun you? They try to sun me. They started me when I was a little kid. Then when they had the TMR, then when I started popping off with DMS and 87, 88, 89, 90. They're like, yo, man, I see you up all the time. Oh, now you're my boy.
Yeah, because they're scared of you at that point.
You know what I'm saying? Because I was killing.
But, yo, how is dude going to go over me on a Triborough? Yo, seriously. Yo, I paid my dues. You going to go over me on a Triborough Bridge spot?
That's old man beef.
Old
man beef can get dangerous.
You know what?
Listen,
you know what?
Graffiti beef will never die.
I try in my life at this point to not base my life and my decision.
Listen,
on ego.
PK,
but yo,
listen, PK, no, PK, no, Madam, like, PK, no. I'll squash the beef. But check it out. But the thing is, like, the same thing. Like, it's like,
call him up right now.
How many people are knocked
get
out?
Get him on the show.
How many people are knocked out for him?
I want to talk to him.
Yo, but listen, call him on speakerphone.
I want to talk to him. Yo, we could shoot a fair one.
Shout out, listen, shout out to MQ.
That's for the Diablos.
MQ. Real rider.
That's for the pay-per-view.
Real rider. He will rob your whole house.
We're saving that for the pay-per-view.
Yeah. So what's all right? Everyone cut.
So back to the graffiti's dysfunctional family.
Oh, it's so dysfunctional, though.
But it is.
What's worse, tattoo artists or graffiti? Because to me, tattoo artists that... Whack, they're like tattoo artists, like the new guys with the fucking stupid mustaches and the fucking thing, the beard, and the motherfuckers think they're rock stars.
Yeah, but my guys are hood guys, so we're from the hood. So my crew is definitely hood. Phil Flash, shout out to Phil Flash.
Jack Hank.
Shout out to Phil Flash.
Phil Flash is like the standout in the crew because, you know, he's like hardcore.
Mariah.
I guess Brooklyn probably took the worst hit of people coming in from
other
places.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, I mean, listen, there was a time when Brooklyn wasn't cool. You looked at as like a bozo, or you looked at as like fucking welcome back, like a sweat hog,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But then motherfuckers came along and changed that, made that shit cool.
Well, we're still looked at that.
It's like punk rock,
so listen,
man. Punk rock.
So listen. So the fact is that you could dress up for for the role, but if it ain't in your heart, you know, tattooing or writing or
most of these graffiti
else,
writers, most of the graffiti right now, they are from out of state. To like,
well, here's a funny story. So some guy hit me up recently up on the gram. He was like, "Hey, I seen you made a comment one of these graffiti posts, right?
Yeah,
there was a graffiti post." And one of these what you write, or one of these kind of things or whatever. And he writes caves. And he writes caves with a C.
Oh, God.
Oh.
So he's not a, yo, he's got skills. He's not a bad artist at all. He's doing freight trains. And he's doing, you know, he's putting in some work. He's got a couple of them. But I wrote question mark, right? Like, you know, the little graffiti cat in me got, my feathers got ruffled and shit because I spent a lifetime being caves,
yeah,
right. So he's like, "Yo, I get it. You know, I just came across your work.
What?
You know, I just came across it.
Where's
now.
Where's he from? Oregon?
You know, yes, something like that. Yeah, yeah.
Milwaukee. Shout out to Oregon.
Milwaukee.
Shout out to Oregon. Yeah.
Fuck Oregon.
Listen, Milwaukee. Or something.
Minnesota.
The weed
Oregon
is legal in Oregon.
Yeah, listen, Oregon, Minnesota, anything. Oh, this is just all whack. All right, New York's the only place. New York City, I don't give a fuck. All right, so tell me what happened.
So he hits me up right away. I got all fucking like, you know, I got all like mad and pissed. Like, what, are you fucking kidding me? I was like,
yeah,
one finger typing, you know, like I was doing Lord Ease, like everything
all caps,
was
all caps.
Yes, I'm fucking yelling at you. Yo, I all capped him. I'm like, are you kidding me? He's like, yeah, I just, you know, I seen you made a comment. I did research. He's like, damn, you know, you, yeah, I could see why you're all capping me right now, you know. And
God,
he's like I was like, yo, you know, not for nothing, but you know, back in the day, graffiti writers, there's a code of honor among thieves. You don't write somebody's fucking name that's still active. Now I don't think I ever put down my name and said, okay, if it would be, it would be to my son. He would be the next kid in line, right. But it's the fact was is that he didn't even bother to do the research.
Yeah, that sucks.
And like research.
Yo, they love research. Google. Like, listen, they're all about research.
And listen, and I'm telling you.
Let me Google this.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you put in your blood, sweat, and tears. You get arrested for the shit. You got mad beef over.
Stabbed.
You lose the fucking a tooth or two or whatever. There is a pecking order, and there is a rules of engagement and shit.
Yeah.
So I told him, yo, put a fucking number and take away the S.
Yeah.
And he hit me back like, he's like, yeah, you know, I got mad respect, no doubt. But then he hit me back 10 minutes later after marinade. He's like, nah, I put too much work in on these freight trains to stop the name. I said, okay, then, you know, you fucking make your bed. And you'll lie, you know, you'll lie in the bed because if those freight trains come this way, that, you know, they might, somebody might come out of hibernation and get smashed.
The difference is a dude like you may like say, okay, you know, well, go do you what you got to do. But a dude like me might be wanting to scheme on where's he live?
No, well,
where's
listen,
he at?
Well,
hold on. I'm going to send some fucking thugs over there.
That dude is definitely a press
boom, charge. Send the bomb.
He's already a restraining order on you.
Well, listen, the truth is that as soon as I got popped in like 85, like they knew who Caves was, right? So it was like, okay, there wasn't going to be a much train career after the 85. But then I was just like, all right, so how am I going to put the same energy and the same, you know, fucking? So I put it into MCing and I put it into all the other things. Being a graffiti writer, being a graffiti artist, it's not just a fucking. It's not one dimension. It's fucking.
No.
It's six dimensions, man.
Shout out to the B-boy.
You put it, yo. You put it into, yo. Being a B-boy, right? Be like
the eighth dimension.
And listen. You know,
robot.
Yo, it's crazy.
That's right.
Nobody would ever understand.
Yo, so yo.
They couldn't understand.
So the truth is, this. I'm a career artist, man.
Yes.
This is a life thing.
I'm a career criminal.
Yeah. I'm a career criminal too.
I like joking. I'm joking.
I like that.
I'm joking. So career criminal joking.
I got my hands and feet in both the worlds.
Right. This is what, you know, hey. Listen.
It is what it is.
Hey, I got nothing to say about all that stuff. I'm
right,
like this.
Right here tonight, like it's this. Love. It's love.
Yo,
hold on.
I don't do that.
Oh, shit. This nigga just exposed himself.
Oh.
The fro is fucking crazy.
And my grandfather said two things.
Oh, are we going to take a 10-minute piss break or what?
Yeah, we only got a couple more minutes left.
Oh, we don't go.
I'm going to try to hold it.
As we've been moving along here.
All right, so what we're talking about? This is crazy. Finish what you had to say.
No, I was just going to say, I don't do any of that on this.
Oh, yeah.
No, and that's probably for the best.
That's probably for the best.
I do, before we exit, though, I do want to talk a little bit about.
Plug your bar.
Your bar.
Yeah, pizza.
And pizza. So. As we know, everybody.
And it's
here.
Good. I've been there.
So
it's
go ahead, plug the spot real quick.
Well, the last couple of years of my life has been—I built like a crazy. Speaking of jail criminals and jail cells, I built a.
I built a
beautiful jail cell. Anybody gets into the restaurant business, you gotta be half crazy. But like I said, like anything I take on as that 12-year-old kid and graffiti writing, you know, spray paint wielding. And I said, fuck it, you know, let's head on. Like we're survivors. We're gonna figure it out. We're gonna work it out. But as a kid growing up in Bay Ridge, bars and pizzerias was like, it was in the Guinness Book of World Records for having the most in the fucking world, right? So I had a love for pizza and yeah, man, I was just like, my son came to me and he's of the age where he was going to college, and God bless, he's going to college.
Wait,
right?
wait, what?
All right, Blaze. So,
Blaze,
so Blaze. Yeah, Blaze goes to college. Right?
Oh, I'm getting old. Yeah.
I feel old now.
Oh, man. Oh, my God.
And the crazy shit, my son Dylan the other day, he's 11, he got on the fucking principal's list, and I said, you're the first fucking person in his family to get on the principal's list.
For not being in trouble.
For the right reasons.
Right. Not the slips that come in the mail.
And my father Bones would be going, no. You know, listen, man.
Tell your dad, I said, what's up?
So, yeah, he'd be pissed off. He's like, he's in the dean's office? He'd go bail him out. And, you know, but the truth is that my son was like, I thought he was going to follow my footsteps as an artist or whatever. He goes, I want to be a chef.
He said, Dad,
you inspired me on like Sundays cooking the meatballs and the sauce and carrying on my mother's tradition and my grandmother's tradition
of carrying on
this, like, you know,
Bay Ridge.
But putting people together on a Sunday in your in the house, Sundays is you put together the sauce, you put together and the family comes together to tell those stories. If it's folklore or fucking Paul Bunyan stories, if it was Uncle Jack coming over telling fucking crazy stories, you want to keep that kind of tradition alive where family gets together, looks each other in the face and shares. So that pizzeria to me, I was like, fuck it, there's a pizzeria in my neighbor called Lento's. It was there for fucking decades and decades. It was famous.
Is that where the midget was?
What?
Remember the midget? Would it look like Grande?
Yeah, where was that?
By your house. Remember the midget?
Yes. Well, yo, that was in the Slick Rick video. Yo, Slick Rick, Little Jimmy. Little Jimmy. Shout out to Little Jimmy. Rest in peace.
Grande.
Rest in peace. Grande was selling
grande,
the cheese
grande,
that time.
Grande.
He's giving
grande.
Out samples. The Grande mozzarella.
We love Grande.
Yo, Little That's Jimmy was people. In the Slick Rick, yo, Slick Rick video. He was the little cat, the little people from the Slick Rick video. So
That's
anyway.
That's awesome.
But the fact was, is like, there was this neighborhood restaurant, called Lento's, and it was there since the 1930s. And my grandparents lived on 86th Street on top of Hinch's, and like, you know, we're generational in that neck of the woods. So we like, let's keep tradition. That Lento's Pizzeria came for sale, and we jumped on it, and it was crazy.
Awesome.
So Lento's was like one of those things, and I was like, wouldn't it be
shout
nice
out to Gaves?
Wouldn't it be nice to carry on tradition with my family and my sons, and keep grandma's tradition alive, and just keep. You know, do something like I said, bringing families together and not looking into their fucking phone or not looking
talk to each other, tell
stories and
wait,
shit.
Hey, how right. you doing? Hey,
so
hey,
we opened up this pizzeria. It's 2 years. It's been open. Knock on wood. We make we're competitive.
And the
with our
food
pizza.
Is great.
We're very fucking
music,
competitive.
Great music.
Did you plug the address and the website for everybody?
It's called the Brooklyn Firefly, and that's 700 3rd Avenue, Brooklyn, New York. and Instagram, the Brooklyn Great Firefly.
What's what, your Instagram's Mr. K?
Mr. K spelled M-I-S-T-E-R-K-V-E-S, and it's with a K, not a C.
All right.
And then, Med, what have you been working on? What have you got coming up for the...
What do we got coming up? So we're doing a treatment right now for a pilot for a graffiti show.
Awesome.
That we're trying to kind of give like Ink Master's twist on graffiti.
Check this out.
It's called the King of Graffiti.
Yeah.
And so we're working on that right now. And
tell me about you worked reality TV. Tell me about what TV shows you worked on reality TV.
Well, you know, my history with reality
TV is
a little crazy.
Come on.
It's on some hip hop shit with VH1 and Black Ink, but it was cool. I had some fun. Yeah. It was cool. There was a lot of really serious, like, aside from the reality TV show thing, there was some real problems
that happened behind it.
Well, we don't want to get into the violence, but the point being is that because of the show, like, when people watch these shows on TV, they think that it's like fake or it's like television, but there's reality behind it, and there was a lot of reality behind the situation with me being on that show.
Listen, we're real people.
So I think so.
When stuff happens, with me and you, we have a certain thing. We look at each other and we just laugh about stuff.
But we handle our business.
We handle our business. The same time when I got a phone call from you, from homeboy, just a piece. And it's like he walked out, I just this whole piece. Do you remember that?
Yo, shit, it gets crazy. It does get crazy.
Yeah.
And sometimes I think, like, I'm trying to be older. I'm trying to be a piece.
No.
But,
man, people should not... step over that line. They should get their fucking face smashed.
Well, I'll call you up and we can make that happen. Like, that's it. A simple phone call will make that happen.
I'm just saying, it's like nowadays, everyone has cameras everywhere. That's the whole thing with us. We're real people. And they understand it's a double-edged sword to sign us to music.
Yes,
like,
yeah.
Because
yeah.
they want to do this, everyone thinks that
they don't like the hood in us, but they want the money in
us. You know, it's the same thing like all these rappers. Mostly rappers are pussy. You know, and I tell you straight up, I play with these dudes, but you know.
you don't want me to get started on that because there's some stories.
Man pussy, and I always like laugh when people in Japan would come to the United States and see me at Bill Spector's party, like, what are you doing here? And like, I'll be like, see the owner there? If he has a problem, I shut this whole shit down. You know, like, I beat up all your favorite rappers.
Yeah.
They don't know.
They don't stand the hardcore punk
They
dudes.
Don't know.
Essays, they don't listen to fucking rap. They listen to oldies. They listen to Morrissey. But that's how hard they are. Listen to Morrissey and beat and shoot you 3 times in the face. Gangsters don't listen to rap. They listen to oldies.
Okay? Gangsters come in silence.
Yeah, you don't talk about what you did. You don't do stuff like that. You do it. You don't be like, yo, it's a whole fucking fake facade. You know what I mean? It's like... Yeah. Like, people from my neighborhood, little glasses, everything. You're like, yo, people are here looking pussy. That guy will stab you in the throat 3 times and go to sleep, and that won't even lose sleep.
Yep.
Yo.
Never charge a book for his cover.
Remember our road trip to Florida, me, you, and Med, and Scam Dust?
Oh, yo, we can't tell these stories.
Scam Dust.
Shout out to Scam Dust. That is my brother.
The system. The system. The system.
And the Outlaws. The Outlaw shit was crazy, dude. That was really crazy.
All right, listen, no names, but real shit.
Yo, sitting there at the table, I was like really bugging out. Like, sometimes in life...
Now a word from our sponsor.
Yo, I've been through so much shit, but sometimes in life, when you encounter situations, no matter what you've been through, you're like, wow, holy...
My whole life is that.
Like, yo, craziness. But you know what? Shout out to Scam Dust and shout out to the system. All I want to say real quick in ending the show is that, you know, I'm blessed with the ability... through caves to have met Isaac and Scam and all these guys and to
shout out to Tavi.
Tavi and Corey Shaw. Tavi. Shout out to Corey Shaw. But what I'm saying is I'm blessed to have been in the circumstances to have gotten the ability to go with you and fucking Scam to Florida to film that shit.
Yo, that shit was so crazy.
What I'm saying is that these are things in my life that if it wasn't for Mike and it wasn't for the circumstances that made shit happen, it wouldn't happen.
Music is positive energy.
Yeah. And the graph. And the
PMA.
Graph.
And look, we're all
PMA.
Here. We're all
PMA.
Listen, we're all sitting here 20-something years plus later and still reminiscing over it. And Lords of Brooklyn got a new record out right now.
Yeah. My brother,
Adam, fucking cooked the sauce once again.
Yes, sir.
Came up with that shit.
Yes, sir.
But
yes, sir.
One of the best producers slept on like a motherfucker. Love him.
Plug the Instagram for Lords of Brooklyn.
Lords of Brooklyn. Put that shit in. Lords of Brooklyn.
All right.
With a Z, S, whichever way you just want to spell. But the new record's called Family Reunion because we have the original lineup back together for some crazy shit. And even my little brother Andrew that performed on the record at 6 years old and now at 30 firefighter with two but spits venom, and I'm gonna tell I'll put him up against any one of these and my 15-year-old, you want to talk about that trap shit, my 15-year-old is on that shit too, and my nephews it's following in, not only in the fucking pizza, it's following in the footsteps, it's gonna be here another 25 years, another 100 years God willing, and this guy to my left, Med, you know.
Med, I love you, bro.
BX.
He's definitely one of a kind, fucking pioneer, fucking trailblazer. And to you guys here, thank you for
having me.
And all I want to say in finishing this show off is that if it wasn't for you, Mike, there wouldn't be a lot of the situations that I have in my life.
And it wasn't for Ezak, we wouldn't be here. The guys pulled us out of more trouble than...
saying is that like in all reality it's been a blessing to know you in my life and to have you as
I love you guys. I love you.
It's been a blessing to have you as a friend, and yo, the whole crew love.
Do you always love you guys,
like Tavi and Corey and
it's a Woodstock anniversary this year too.
Oh shit,
summer love.
That's how shit goes down, you know.
Hey yo, my grandkids say, yo, Papa, you look mad fat in this.
If you want to see
CD cover, but it's not me.
I gotta DJ Roman. I gotta pee, so let's wrap it up.
So listen, on that note, we're gonna end episode 3.
Shout
I want to shout out
you,
to
Jay.
Cave
Thank
and Matt for joining us today.
Yeah.
Shout out to DJ Lord Two-ish.
Long show.
Yeah.
So guys. Make sure you go to DiablosDenPodcast.com. Join the email list to get the episode sent straight to your inbox. Like us on Facebook. Make sure you like, share, rate, subscribe on all of the crazy things. We will see you guys soon for episode number 4. So thank you guys again.
ToughCityStyles.com. ToughCityStyles.com.
We're playing a song right now with DJ Kaz and me.
I got to pee, so I'm not listening
to that. Yeah, Sir Malo?
No.
Shoot him up.
Hold on, like, keep it going to the
Shoot 'em up, oh yeah. Shoot 'em up, just shoot 'em up. Who is the man with the master plan? Hey, Diablo, represent the TMS clan. The bitch backbreaker, rapping the cap again. DJ Khan, take him out with a crossbow. Smooth. I don't get upset. I kick a hole in the speaker. Pull the plug, then jack. Two queens, triple beams, murder for hire.
Hi, this is Chad Nicefield.
And this is Justin Press.
We're the host of Making Waves, the Shiprock podcast, a part of the Sound Talent Media Podcast Network. We're inviting you to sail away with us on an epic journey in musical enlightenment. Every week, we bring you only the best artists in rock music and discuss everything from the cruise to the stage to the saga of being a professional recording artist. We'll have lots of special guests along the way, so tune in every week.
Your stateroom is available every Monday morning, so welcome aboard.